So today we're going to do an interview for my good friend Jane Knight. Jane worked for Middleton Murray for a while in our marketing department and is a great example of somebody who had a variety of different careers and then decided that she wanted to transition to starting her own business. And I had great fun actually with Jane, mentoring her to start that business, scoping it out. And one of the things that I really encouraged her to do was to select a niche, which she did very successfully. She selected the niche of mums, in particular mums returning from a break and wanting to get back into work, and she calls it Successful Mums. And she currently now runs a number of workshops mainly around London, but helps mums to sort of gain their confidence, helps them with their mindset, with their grooming, and then job opportunities as well. And as I say, she's done that really successfully and we've kept in touch. And she wanted to do a series of interviews with women to sort of, you know, show journeys and learnings and examples. And she's asked me a series of questions, so I thought what we'd do is do this in podcast series. And to make it even more relevant, what I decided to do was have my daughter here to interview me, because this is about, you know, being a working mom and having children and what it's like to try to achieve that balance. So Annabelle knows all about this firsthand, but from the other side of the coin. So Annabelle, welcome this morning.
Thank you.
And Annabelle can obviously chip in with her thoughts and feelings as well, so it won't just be me answering, but I'll let Annabelle ask the question. So without further ado, let's go.
Okay, so Angela, you have two children and you own a number of award-winning businesses. So can you just give us an example of what a typical day looks like for you?
Yeah. Well, Annabelle, you know, because you lived with me for 3 years. We lived together, didn't we, up until last year. And you saw how I sort of changed my daily routine and ended up sort of experimenting with a few different things,
like getting up at 4 a.m. in the morning.
and trying to involve you in all that as well, which sometimes you did do but sometimes you didn't. I've sort of settled on a routine now that really works for me. I think that your routines change as you progress, and when you've got children, the different ages, sometimes, you know, you're dictated by school and things. But for now, I look to have a routine where I can be as productive as possible but not feel rushed. So for me, the first thing is, after having a really good night's sleep, waking up at 5 a.m. and knowing that I will have at least 2.5 hours before I have to leave. So the first thing I do is meditation, and I use the Muse app, which involves putting a little headband on and listening to between 10 and 20 minutes of meditation sounds. And that really gives me a bit of grounding before I even start the day. So I don't do anything else, don't look at WhatsApps or anything, just put that meditation on. I think I'm on a 37-day streak at the moment. So I tend to do that very, very regularly. And my intention is always to do it, because when you've finished, it's a bit like working out. You really feel pleased that you've done it. So start with the meditation. I have bulletproof coffee. Lots of people ask me about that because they know about my fitness. There's no magic ingredients in it, but I think the magic of it is that it has got good fats and it enables you to feel satiated during that first morning session if you want to exercise, etc. But light enough and empty enough also if you want to exercise. Also because of the fats in it, it means that your brain is very switched on. So it consists of black coffee. I put some collagen protein in, a couple of scoops of that particular protein, for a number of reasons, one of which is it blends very nicely with hot coffee. Mm-hmm. A lot of protein powders don't. And then ghee, which is grass-fed butter, about 10 mils of that. And then MCT oil, which is a very refined form of coconut oil, about 10 mils of that as well. The whole thing comes to about 300 calories, and some people say that's too high calories, but obviously I have it as part of an overall picture for the day of about 2000 calories. So I start with that. I also have 500 mils of water with electrolytes, and once I've consumed that, I'm good to do the next thing. Now, all this time, I'm sitting in bed. So, you know, it's not like I'm running around at 5 a.m. By about 5:30, I start to, you know, get my journal out and I start to write stuff down. The first thing I do is affirmations. And I know that sounds weird, but it's just reassuring myself really and my brain that, you know, I can achieve what I want to achieve. I am what I want to be, and I'm going in the right direction. And it will talk about, you know, things to do with all aspects of life, really, body, mind, career, business, relationships, etc. So I do a bit of that. I also do a bit of visualization. A while back, I wrote down the very grainiest detail of a perfect day, and I reread that and I try to visualize that perfect day. And then after that, I do some reading. So currently I'm reading a book by a lady called Tara Stewart. And it's amazing. It's about neuroplasticity. It's called The Source. And it's about how you can actually change the physicality of your brain. And by doing it, it changes the way you think as well. It really helps with visualization, achieving your goals. I mean, we all know we don't use, you know, huge amount of our brain. And so this helps you to sort of understand what more you can do with your brain. So I'm reading that book. So I read that for about 20 minutes. And then I do a bit of journaling. You know, write down my thoughts, what I've achieved so far this week, what I'd like to try to achieve in the weeks coming up, any sort of things that I've learned, really. If I've got problems, I might write those down as well. It's really just by writing stuff down that I find that I work through and get answers. So once all that's finished and I've sipped my coffee and drunk my electrolytes and all of that, it's probably about getting on for about 7 o'clock. Then jump up, have a shower, get ready. Four times out of the week, so Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, I will just put gym kit on because I'm going to the gym. On Wednesdays, I get straight into work clothes. So then I walk about an hour, go to the gym, work out for an hour, and by now it's probably getting on for about 8:30. Do an hour's workout, as I say, consisting primarily of weightlifting, and get to about 9:30, get changed, and by 10 o'clock I'm ready to start the day properly. So now that's a really, really lengthy explanation of my morning, but I think it is so critical for everything else that happens. And I try to do that type of morning every day, even Saturdays, even Sundays, because I then know what my mission is for the day. And I've also thought about all aspects of my life, and it means that I don't get carried away with negative emotions, pulled down rabbit holes. You know, I can actually move my own mission forward. Between sort of 10 o'clock and about 6, I'm then working. And that will consist of a whole variety of things. It could be doing a podcast like this. It might be doing an interview. I've become pretty hands-on again in my business at the moment, my businesses, particularly the Middleton Murray company, where I've had a bit of a reshuffle. And what we're trying to do there is to grow the top line and the bottom line, by which I mean the revenue and the profit, but at the same time become more automated, improve quality, and so do more of everything with less, I suppose. And that is proving quite a challenge. But if we manage to pull it off, it will be a really great case study of how you can completely automate and transition a business. Mm-hmm. So I'm very hands on with that at the moment. And so I'll be having a series of meetings in my office. I have an office on the Strand. I'll be calling different members of my staff in any one time. We have about 100 staff. In between that, I'll be preparing maybe for speeches. I've got the biggest speech I will ever have done is next week in front of 6,500 people. And then I might do a bit of mentoring, you know, take quite a lot of calls during the week. People sort of want help with this, that or the other. I may go into the House of Commons. I might meet an MP or a civil servant, someone who's influencing policy, and talk about that. I like to do a fair bit of learning, so I might be going on a course in a couple of weeks. I'm actually doing my exams for my personal training course, so I'm trying to qualify as a personal trainer, not to be a personal trainer, but so that I can know more about, you know, the science behind physical education and transforming bodies. I'm going on another one with a guy called Joe DiMaggio, which is again about neuroplasticity and using your brain. So by about 6-7 I try to switch off. If I've done about 15,000 steps, I'll then get an Uber or a tube home. If I haven't, I will walk home. And I've got all sorts of alarms on my phone as well, trying to keep me moving through the day and get all these things done. But one of the alarms at 8 o'clock says switch the phone off. And so that is what I try to do, having, you know, sort of communicated with everybody that I want to. I do use the phone a lot, and I know everybody says that, you know, we're all phone addicts and that we shouldn't, but I use it as a way of keeping in touch with people. I'm always whizzing down my WhatsApp groups, making sure I've kept in contact with friends, family, as well as business people. So it's a critical tool for me to keep contact with everybody. And then after about 8 o'clock, I will confess that I like watching a bit of Netflix. So at the moment I'm watching The Bodyguard, which Annabelle, you said is on about a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, at least a year ago.
But I only just discovered that. And then I go to bed about sort of 9:30, do a bit more meditation, do a bit more reading, and try to be asleep by 10. So there you go. That's a typical day for me. I do actually go out and socialise as well, but Sometimes tends not to be as frequently as it used to be, does it?
Well, that's where I come in.
Yeah, so we tend to do a lot of that together.
Just before we go on to the next question, you did talk a lot about your morning routine. I know that lots of people have interest in that because it's so in-depth and you always say it makes such a difference to your day ahead. For someone who doesn't have a morning routine and is more of the get out of bed, brush your teeth, get ready and run to work, what advice would you give them just to get started? Because that's quite a lot to just pick up and start with one day. What first steps would you give them?
I would tell them to decide to have a morning routine. That's the first thing, is make a decision to have that routine. Doesn't matter what it's going to be. That is very, very individual. But I think write down for yourself what a perfect morning would be. Whether that would be laying in, whether that would be jumping up and going for a run, whether that would be eating porridge or, you know, healthy breakfast of some sort, whatever it actually is, write that down in detail and then make that happen. Mm-hmm. Because I wouldn't suggest that there is a best morning routine, but having one is really critical to setting you up for your day. I think there's nothing worse, and I certainly have done it in the past, where, you know, you're late, you're jumping out of bed, you're having to sort of pull your outfit together, you know, you're late for your train or whatever, and it just doesn't set you up. You can still recover from it, but you're not giving yourself the best chance. And so have a morning routine. Now, in terms of what it should consist of, I've explained to you what I do. Yeah. I read a really great book called The Miracle Morning, which I would really suggest have a read if you're thinking about what to incorporate. I think, you know, try and do a bit of meditation, have some nutrition. You know, basically your body is a taxi for your brain, and it's taking your brain from place to place. Think of it like that. So if you don't fuel that taxi, then it's going to run out, isn't it? And it's not going to operate efficiently for you. So you've got to fuel your body. And I just think, remember why you're going to work. You know, we've all got a finite amount of time. So make sure that you use that time for you and not for everybody else. Don't be a slave for everybody else. Don't let everybody else pull your strings. Decide what it is you want to do. And then everything that you do, even if it is that difficult meeting with your boss or with a client, remember then that you're doing it because it's in line with your goals, and you're doing it because it's going to achieve something for you. Yeah. And I think that's the important thing really for a morning routine, is to set yourself up to succeed before you actually go out into the big wide world.
And what about, because obviously this is directed mainly at mums returning to work and things like that. Obviously, now that we're a lot older, I've been incorporated in your morning routine and can do it with you. But for anyone who has young kids, do you remember what you used to do back when you had me and Stephen as like toddlers running around?
I do. I just was, and you probably remember this, I was just very, very organised the night before. I think that a little bit of organisation the night before means that, you know, you don't have to have hours. And I wasn't really that much of an early riser when you were little. I certainly wasn't getting up at 5 o'clock. It was nearer to seven. Mm-hmm. And bearing in mind that you had to be at school ready and dressed and, you know, with all your God knows how many books
well,
and equipments you had.
And jackets and sports bags, all that stuff.
And you had to be there, didn't you, actually, by 9:15. So, which meant the very latest we had to leave was 8:15. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe that I didn't used to wake up until 7 o'clock now. But because I was organised the night before.
You used to have everything ready, even everything our outfits.
Ready.
And
yeah. So, you know, I would always have you showered and everything the night before. Then I'd have your clothes ready and I'd position them in such a way that the first item of clothing you would put on would be at the top and you'd work all the way down to the bottom. I'd have your breakfast set out. And really, I used to sort of get myself up, come into your room, chivvy you along and get you both dressed, you then Stephen, literally, you know, chivvy you down the stairs, sit you over your breakfast and then hurtle upstairs and get myself ready. Inevitably, I come down and you had not eaten your breakfast, the pair of you. So then chivvy you through the breakfast and then bundle you into the car. Your bags would have been ready the night before and off we'd go. Without that sort of organisation, you would have to have much longer in the morning.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say, and I didn't actually talk about my current morning routine now. You see, I don't really like doing all that organisation. I like the night before now. I like having the night to wind down. And I don't really like thinking too much about the next day. I mean, I know where I'm going and stuff like that, but really the content of it, I prefer to think about in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I think one way or another, give yourself time to be organised. And then you fly through the day and you get more out of it.
Great. So following on from that, In what ways did becoming a mum have a positive impact on your approach to your work life and business? For example, do you think it made you a better boss, change, give you a new perspective on your work, make you think about your work-life balance a bit more, anything like that?
Yeah, so before I had children, before I even thought about wanting to have children, I was really fixated on work and very, very ambitious. And I suppose as a result of that, I always think that when you know, no matter how many problems you have or challenges, they fill up all your sort of challenge bucket, if you like. And so the more challenges you get, everything, you've only got one sort of bucket of thought potential. And so they all get a little bit smaller. So I suppose what I'm trying to say is that the issues and challenges that I had at work prior to children seemed a lot bigger than they suddenly did once you have children. Everything sort of starts to get its right place and gets put into perspective. So that's one really good thing. You know, it was only work, and I realized that, and I think that also comes with maturity and experience anyway, but certainly having children put things in perspective. I surprised myself by wanting to go part-time and never thought that would happen, but you know, 3 months after going back to work, I decided I wanted to go part time. And it just made me realise that there were more components to life than just work. So I needed to have children to sort of realise that, I guess. And also, it did make me more understanding at work from one respect, because obviously now I had children. So I understood, you know, other people having children and, you know, the home life balance that's required. However, it also made me quite sceptical and not understanding of people who didn't manage it very well. because, you know, all of a sudden I used to find myself thinking, well, you know, I've got two children. I've actually done all of that stuff this morning. I've brought them here. I'm here for this meeting. And you know what it used to be? It used to be guys who would say, oh, my wife's ill, you know, and I had to take the children to school. And it was, and I used to think, well, I do that every day, you know, and I don't actually have a wife at home. So I also go and do all those jobs as well. So it used to make me slightly less tolerant, to be really honest with you, in some instances. Now, I'm not saying all men are like that before anyone comes back. But, you know, when you're not used to doing it, it can be a challenge. So it teaches you to multitask as well. And it just makes you so happier, so much happier in your life. I mean, having children is a wonderful thing, for all the challenges and issues that it gives you and the money drain and all of that. It's just such a lovely, happy thing. You literally feel, I can only liken it to when you have a new love and you cannot wait to go and see that new love. When you have a child, that's how you feel. You can't wait to go and see them. And so it just gives you such an enriching new dimension to your life. And I think that's good for all aspects of life then. I also think as well that it's very good for the children. I don't know if we come on to that, but you'll remember when you were little, little 3 year old, and did a bit of role playing just by accident.
I do remember.
Where I was working in Paris for a bit, Monday to Friday. And I always remember little 3 year old Annabelle. She suddenly picks up her dolly, shoves it over to me and says, you're nanny, I'm mummy, and you picked my briefcase off and said, oh, I'm off to Paris, and off you toddled with your slippers. And it made me feel terrible at the time, but I think it's quite funny now. And I think it's good if you're a working mum, you know, to set examples to your children, and they see through you what's possible if you set a good example.
So what does personal success mean to you?
So we're going to do a separate episode on success, because I'm about to talk at the Success Resources show, aren't I? And that's where the 6,500 audience is. And I'm really pleased that I'm going to be talking alongside Gary Vee and Grant Cardone and Russell Brand.
Cool stage, yeah.
It's going to be fantastic at the Birmingham NEC. So that's all about the meaning of success. So I'm going to do a special episode just on that. But very briefly and in summary, it means to me that you don't feel any significant lacking in your life, that you feel that you've got all bases covered. And even if everything is not perfect, you know, you've got a plan or a mission, and it's as good as you think it can be, and you've got hope for the future and excitement about the future, and you know, you're enjoying your journey. I know that sounds really cliche, and we hear so much about that on things like Instagram, but truth of the matter is, trying to enjoy the majority of every day, no matter what it is you're doing, that's got to be success, isn't it? Because we don't know how many days we've got.
What one piece of professional advice would you give other working mums, or just mums in business?
I would say, don't be in a massive rush to progress to the next level. Don't take it personally if you get overlooked for a promotion one time. and try not to think about yourself as a woman in the workplace, but just as a capable resource in the workplace. Don't think of yourself as a woman or a mother when you're there. And everybody has got their talents to bring and their value to add, and just see everybody as a sort of a piece of that puzzle, bringing different skills, different emotions, different empathies, and do your very, very best, but know that you have time. And I think that when I speak to working mums, particularly mums with young children, they really panic that their foot's off the pedal a little bit. You know, they now have to go and cater for the school run. They're not doing as well as they want to. And I always say to them, look, I know it doesn't feel like it, but you've got so much time. And if you do take your foot off the pedal for a little bit because you want to put more emotional energy into your children, then great. Really just do that and enjoy it. Because trust me, you know, you're going to come back. You're going to have lots and lots of time because your children won't need you so much anymore, not physically anyway. And, you know, we're all, as long as you stay fit and we're all getting younger and fitter. And, you know, I truly believe now that we're all going to be working, if we want to, up to 100 years old and beyond. So there's no massive rush. And, you know, you don't have to achieve everything this year.
Yeah. And I think looking at you now, you wouldn't ever think it, but you did take a year out of work. You went part time, like you said. Mm. And, you know, you came back even stronger from that and started your business anyway. Yeah. So
I didn't start my business until I was 39. Mm-hmm. So that would have meant you were 9 years old and Stephen was 10.
Yeah.
And you know, you hadn't started senior school. You were about to sort of do that for year seven. But I remember feeling ready then and not before. Yeah. And it was more that I thought, right, well, I'm 39 years old. What I actually thought then was wrong, because I thought physically I'm declining, mentally I'm growing.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter actually was, yes, I was growing mentally, but I feel now that I've been growing in the last 10 years physically as well, with the bodybuilding.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, turning around my fitness. So, yeah, there's just so much potential, and you don't have to get everything all done in your 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
You can actually do lots more in the decades beyond that.
So what one thing for yourself do you always make time for?
My nails.
Yeah.
As you know. Yes. So I cannot bear it if my nails
Important
are chipped.
Things.
And they're not. And I used to have shellac and acrylic on my nails. So that meant that they were always perfect for 2 weeks and I'd never have to go and get them done. But I felt that they needed a rest. And so I've been having normal manicures, which means I have to go in there every four bloody days now to get them done.
Every 4 days?
Every 4 days. So that they're perfect. I really couldn't bear to be in a meeting without perfect nails. I would have to sort of put it
You've
off for half
been
an hour.
Like that as well, haven't
yeah,
you?
And hurtle around the corner and get them done. Second to that is just overall grooming. You know, I feel that I don't have to be dressed up. I mean, today I've got a pair of ripped jeans on and, you know, just a top. But feeling presentable is really important to me. If you go to courses like Landmark, you'll hear this concept of winning formula described. Apparently, we all have a winning formula coming from our childhood of how we cope with adversity and challenge. And it's different for different people. Some people lose their temper. They might be funny. Could be personality things. For me, and I remember this from being a child, I always had my uniform all neatly buttoned up and everything. And I suppose that's really one of my winning formulas, is making sure I look presentable. So, yeah, that's a rule for me, really. And then now, as you know, is gym. That's non-negotiable as well. So I have to work out, I mean, at least four times, probably five. I'd even work out six sometimes. And I actually really enjoy it and feel so much better after. The other thing that's starting to get there is meditation.
Yeah.
So it's really weird, isn't it, how you end up,
because you've not been doing that for too long.
Not
really,
too long, no. Well, intermittently on and off, but certainly now. And then, you know, there's not just one thing, because I said now's tongue in cheek, but, you know, it's time with you, time with my mum. So it's time with loved ones as well is really important. And just reading and learning and all of these things. I don't think I could be truly happy without doing all of those things.
Oh, it's lucky that we work together.
Yeah.
See me all the
get
time.
To see you. That's a double whammy. Yeah.
If you were invited on Desert Island Discs, what would your top music choice, book and luxury be?
Mm.
So let's start with the first one. What would your music choice be?
Yeah, now this people would be surprised about this, but it would be really heavy, aggressive rap.
Yeah.
You know, because
Who's your
I need
rapper?
That. Well, I mean, I like all of them really. I like, but I do like Eminem still sometimes if I'm in a certain mood. And then I like more of the latest ones, which I'd know all about, Whips and things like that, but I don't really know the names of them.
You're a big Stormzy fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I love Stormzy. And I just okay. like, you know, like Kanye West and Jay-Z and all of those, because I find it,
listen to it in the gym, don't
I find
you?
It uplifting. I think you need that aggression, which is gives you that passion, which to get things done. I find it mildly amusing as well, the way they speak, especially some of the female ones now, Cardi B and all yeah. of that. So yeah, I would pick that out of everything. Now, the other side of the coin is if I'm relaxing, I like happy music. And if I'm being nostalgic, then I would love Tony Bennett and Frank Sinatra to remind me of my dad and, yeah. you know, when we were young.
Okay, so what about book then? What would the book be that you take to Desert Island Discs?
Oh, you know, I really like The Secret. I love that book. Mm-hmm. Again, I find it mystical, uplifting, hopeful.
It's all about manifestation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So if I could only take one, I probably would take that and reread it many times. But I mean, I'm a big reader, as you know. I love self-help books.
You could take Kindle and have all of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I would take the Kindle and then I'd literally have hundreds of books. So yeah, I'm an avid reader. What I'm not so keen on reading these days is fiction. I mean, yeah. you know, I've always been an avid reader, and one of my longest ago memories is when I was a little child and my granddad used to pick me up every Thursday and take me to the library, and I'd be able to get one book. And because I used to read it so quickly, one day they said to me, you can have two books. And then a few weeks later, I could have three books, and I'm still reading all these books. And it was things like Mary Poppins, Enid Blyton. And I really have had such a love of reading since as long as I can remember. It's transitioned a little bit now. I do Audible. I listen to podcasts as well as reading. But the thing that I've sort of do a lot less of now is fiction. Mm. It worries me a little bit that, you know, when you think about time and running out of time, one of the things that worries me is there's so much material and so many things to read and learn. I worry when I'm reading sometimes that I'm wasting my time at the expense of reading something else.
That's a problem of our generation, isn't it? Information overload and not knowing, you know, quality over quantity.
Yeah, definitely.
And what about your luxury? What would that be?
So would I be on a desert island?
Yeah, I imagine it's going to be what, like dumbbells or protein shake?
No, I would say really lovely bikinis. I'd have them all matching. Yeah, probably Vicks that make, you know, mm-hmm. that I like. I'd probably have...
with the matching outfits over the top.
So if I was going to be there for a month, I'd probably want, you know, at least one a day. And, you know, all the sort of matching sandals, and so that I actually look the part. And
anything matchy-matchy.
Obviously, my nails would have to be done as well.
Okay. Is there anything you'd consign to the ocean and why? She's thinking more of like a children's book you've been asked to read 1,000 times, et cetera, et cetera.
So something really special that would sort of stay there as a memory. Oh, that's a really, really hard one. I think in the end, it probably would be just a photograph of you two. Yeah, yeah. It probably would be. So, and that's genuinely, in the end, what we're here to do is to leave our legacy. Yes, it's to impact other people, but really, what's it really for? Is to sort of perpetuate your genes. And that's what I've done with you two. So and I think, you know this, when I got my MBE, mm-hmm. you two came, because the one thing that I think you know as a mother is that your children are always going to be constant in your life.
Yeah.
You know, and even though I'm not married to your dad anymore, well, we had a lengthy marriage. We were married for 32 years. And obviously he's still very special to me, and I do love him still, just that we're not married now. But that I see that as a close of a chapter, and there's going to be other chapters. But the one thing that you do know as a mother is that your children will always be there. They may not like you very much all the time, but you're always going to love them. So so probably a picture of us together.
Oh, that's so sweet. Okay, so finally, what's one last tip for women returning to work after a break that you'd give them?
Well, I would say take your time. I know that you want to earn money, but notwithstanding that, you don't go hurtling back because you think you're going to lose your place in the ladder or in the race, because you won't. When you do go back, resist the temptation to go back to something which you think is not going to be as challenging, because, you know, you worry that maybe you sort of lost your edge, or because I do see women doing that, they go, oh, that, you know, there's a job in B&Q up the road, and I don't think I really want the challenge. I would say, honestly, if you work for Credit Suisse, let's say, or KPMG or someone like that, these are amazing employers now who are very, very good at accommodating the needs of working mothers. Mm-hmm. And I would really try.
They do a lot of returning to work programs
as well. So I would definitely try to go back into somewhere where you've got expertise, albeit it might be a bit updated. It doesn't matter because you can bring that back up to date. But go back where you've got expertise. Relax about the fact that maybe you're not hurtling up the ladder as quick as you wanted to be, because you will be ultimately.
Yeah. And finally, how can we find more out about you? Where would we go?
As you know, I love Instagram. Yep. So you can find me on Instagram.
Keep updated daily. Instagram's the one.
So go on Instagram. You'll see my story. I keep that updated. And you'll see more about me and my personal life, really. For LinkedIn, that's where we talk about our, you know, business activities. So you can go on LinkedIn as well. And then I've got a whole series of companies, as you know. So Middleton Murray, which is for the youngsters and apprenticeships and placing people straight into their first job. I've got the podcast series, I Want to Be A, where I interview lots and lots of high flyers who are in different careers, and they talk about how they got to where they are, what it's like to do that job, and their tips and hints if you want to get into that. So anyone listening to this is returning to work and wants to do something different, the I Want to Be A podcast is good.
So that's on iTunes, isn't it?
iTunes, and you'll find that in Spotify and places like that, I think, won't you? I've written a couple of books, if you wanted to read those. I Want to, the First Job series.
That's on Amazon, isn't it?
Yeah, you can get that on Amazon. Created a program for women specifically for female entrepreneurs called Your Body Means Business, so YBMB. Again, you can find the link on Instagram and go to the website there and enroll.
You can find all these things growing directly through your Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. So you'll get me online.
Great. Well, thank you very much. That's been some very inspirational advice. So I hope you'll enjoy it.
And I hope also that Jane enjoys this and Jane's readers. And if you want to hear more about Jane, then I was just talking about my podcast, I Want to Be A. Jane was actually an early guest on that. And so she talks about her career history and how she ended up starting the Successful Mums business.
We'll put a link to that in the description of this one.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.